Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Brainstorm Brewery, the podcast where you never get Tree of Redemption. It's always Jace the Mind Sculptor. Here, the loot boxes are always filled with the mythics. Welcome to the show, everyone. Masters 25. We have almost the entire spoiler list for it. We're going to talk about it tonight. And it turns out...
What are you doing? Are you trying to get a job for G4? Is this for your, like, your demo reel?
What do you think?
It's for his SoundCloud, Jason. He's going to sell it on the street.
May your loot boxes always be sick with 1337 loot.
That was the thing, man. I thought it was a thing. It was fun. It was fun to do that.
You're like a sexier Olivia Munn.
She's from Oklahoma.
Is she really?
Uh-huh.
You know, if you take my wife out of the equation, I think that Olivia Munn is probably the best looking woman on the planet. But if you add my wife into the equation, still the same result.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know where you stand on that.
My wife's not listening. She doesn't listen to this podcast. She's a lot like Corbin.
Yeah, it's totally fine if we talk behind their backs.
Hey, we can get my wife on the podcast to discuss what we discussed on Monday.
No, I'll pass. Leave that to the after hours, please.
Yeah, speaking of after hours, some of you don't know what we're talking about because you don't contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I got to keep people guessing because they're like, he always does the Patreon.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's the first time you've done it in the beginning of the episode.
You ever go to like a long-standing podcast on YouTube? There's always a dude in the comments like, the actual podcast starts at 12 minutes. And everyone's like, thanks, dude. I'm like, hey, man, you can't be skipping our Patreon pitch. So, hey, people that love this podcast, they go to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery and they give us a small to large amount of money. A large amount of money buys your way onto this podcast as a guest. A small amount of money gives you access to the Discord server where I will insult you until you quit being a patron. So in the middle tiers, we have this handsome Brainstorm Brewery drinking glass that I'm getting drunk out of right now.
Ooh. That was a stunningly accurate description so far. Continue.
Yumma dum. So you can also have access to our after hours where we talk about stuff that we really shouldn't talk about on the podcast proper. And it's always really funny. It's a good time. And we talked about some fun stuff on the latest after hours that will be going out to our patrons. And so
I mean,
if
you're looking to make an advertisement, I think the two premier topics were ice guillotines and BDSM.
Yeah,
that's
accurate.
Were they related? You guess you have to listen to find out.
I don't know. Were they? So, hey, if you want to support this podcast for $0, what a great thing you could do is go to our Facebook page, Brainstorm Brewery. Just give us a like. We're going to do a giveaway when we get to, I think, 2,000 likes on the Facebook page. And I think when we get to, what was it, 1,500 subscribers?
$1,500.
On our YouTube? What's that?
$1,500.
I think it's 2K.
Yeah, it's 2K for both. You know, whatever. We got a modest goal. I think we're going to hit it.
Iconic Masters box giveaway is the giveaway for 2,000.
Yeah. So go ahead and you go to our YouTube page.
For those of you who don't want to gamble on Tree of Redemption and Armageddon Mythics, you can slowly work your way up to a Iconic Masters box where the EV is more evenly distributed.
Yeah, it's a better EV. So you go ahead and go to youtube.com/brainstormbrewery. Finger blast that like button and, you know, click that bell icon. That bell icon will let you know when we have a new thing because it's not always the once per week podcast. We do those brain bites. Those are free to our YouTube subscribers also. So, hey, we got all kind of stuff. We're upping our offerings. We're not just a podcast anymore. It's the 21st century. We're doing all kind of stuff. We're like Logan Paul, but with less unintentional racism and less intentional racism. So,
and
hey.
Fewer dead people. We should mention that.
Are there? What? Are there, though?
For now.
So, hey, till cirrhosis kicks in, is that what you're saying? So, hey.
I'm not going to predict the future here. I mean, this is live video. There have been some crazier things happen on live video.
There's a FOGO bet that I don't see my daughter graduate from high school. That's those dudes. Like, I don't know if it's obesity or cirrhosis, but something's going to get
or she just
a heckler.
Won't graduate. I mean, that's... The other option.
Curveball thrown in there.
What do you mean? Because I'm going to homeschool her?
Yeah,
that must
be real surprised if my daughter doesn't graduate high school. That's largely participation based. Now, law school, I could see not graduating from. Wow. That got real personal. Hey. Why don't we talk about Magic cards?
So we're talking about...
if you were a patron, you would actually... People have said, hey, I used to hate the Patreon pitch. Then I gave you money. Now I like it. It's my favorite part of the podcast. So if you give us money, you'll actually really enjoy the Patreon pitch.
Is that how it works? So, okay, yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
So if you hate it, just give us money.
Yep.
I do think that is how it works, yes.
Yeah.
And that's science.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about A25 tonight. Now, I know everyone wants to call it M25, but...
Hey, why is it not M25?
Yeah, well, just knock that one out up front. M25 will be the name of the core set that releases in summer of 2024.
Isn't the name of that set, like, Magic Core 2019?
What?
Isn't that, like, the name of the actual set?
If they release Magic Core 2019 in the summer of 2024, I'll be very surprised.
Yes, I agree with Jason. Nothing for DJ. Okay,
that's when we started conversations. That's yeah. That's when that happened.
Yeah, the name of the set is Core Set 2019.
Yes. However, the abbreviation
is
M19. Stands to reason that the abbreviation for the core set that comes out in the summer of 2024 will be called M25.
That's assuming they keep doing core sets for 5 years and not like going on and off about it.
Yes. That is the assumption that Wizards of the Coast has made when they created the three-letter set code that was A25.
They assume we'll still be playing Magic in 2025. When they repeal the reserve list in 2023, we're not going to be playing Magic in 2025.
Yeah, God, then they'll really have messed up by naming this A25 and not M25.
Right.
But anyways, before we do that, let's break some bulk first before we devote the entire episode to talking about...
You knew I wasn't ready.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time.
Oh yeah, Breaking Bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
You knew I wasn't ready to break bulk. It's like, hey Jason, you got a pick of the week? I'm like, I got a good pick of the week. You're like, great, we'll do Breaking Bulk first.
We always
pull
do
your
breaking
pants
bulk
down.
First.
Never ready.
I got my picks of the week are, or my Breaking Bulks are unguessable, I think, this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us what 7-cent card you've chosen.
Yeah, tell us what card from a 5-card cycle.
No, this first one is a...
It's from a 5-card cycle. One of them's Swamp, one of them's... You're a piece of shit.
it's from a 10-card cycle this time.
Great.
Ooh.
In Return to Ravnica. And I will say that it was not contained... You could not find these in booster packs.
Cool.
Is it?
That's it?
Yep.
Oh, is it those planes?
Nope.
No,
that's not a part of a cycle. That is from Dragon's Maze, and that was only planes.
Ugh. That was the weirdest promo.
They're still like a buck, though.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a weird promo.
Which means they haven't lost any money from when I bought them for a buck.
True.
It's also like one of the only basic lands drawn by Eric Deschamps.
So it's a... It's not in booster. It was only in the guild packs then.
Yep.
And it was some guild thing, right?
I don't remember this crap.
Was it the guild letter?
It's not the guild letter. You're close.
Is it the guild spin down?
Nope.
This is the stupidest breaking bulk I've ever heard.
I've found these in bulk, and then
It's the box. It's the empty box. They're worth 4 cents on card. God, kill yourself.
All right, I'm going to show them on the YouTube screen.
It doesn't help us.
I know, but I'll describe them to you, Corbin, with words. So these are the...
prefer if you didn't.
They are token... They're kind of like token cards where they have...
Why
like...
did we have him a part of this cast, Corbin?
What
we could have asked anybody. We could have gotten Jim Casale, but no, we're guessing 4-cent stuff that was just in a
guild
pack.
These are like
pack.
A few dollars a piece,
it's not the guild letter. It's the guild instruction thing. That
is
says,
it a checklist,
here are the three
DJ?
Things you do to get a
yeah,
sticker.
Exactly. Is that what it is?
Well, they are basically tokens, but instead of like an actual like rat token or whatever, it just has the colors and symbol of the guild on it. So like they made one for every guild pack where when you went to the Return of Ravnica or Gatecrash pre-release, you'd get your guild little token thing And they're the same size as Magic cards. They're used with the same card stock as tokens. They have like the advertisement on the back of them, but these are actually worth like a couple dollars a piece just because people buy them and use them for like deck dividers, or just like they collect their favorite one for the guild. They tape it to the front of their binder, whatever. But I've actually sold these on eBay before, and I've buy-listed them to vendors at GPs.
Interesting. You know what? I had
okay,
actually...
Okay, you know what? Hey, as much shit as we give you, it's worth knowing that that's not trash.
Yeah, like, I think that other people will pick these out and, like, just throw them away or put them in with their bulk tokens or, like, just get rid of them or whatever, or just keep the one to their... for their own personal guild. But all of these are worth money. You just need to find the right person to buy them. And I mean, like, they're not going to be super common. It's not like you find these as often as Gutter Snipes or Lingering Souls. I mean, RTR block bulk is kind of boring as it is, but if you happen to find these little guild token things, they are absolutely worth pulling out of bulk.
I had actually forgot that when you went to an RTR pre-release, you chose a guild and got a pre-release kit for that guild. So everyone just chose the best ones, and then if you hadn't signed up early enough, you got stuck with the shit ones.
Well, I went to some ones where there was like just given out randomly. It's like, you're Azorius.
That's better. Picks. That's better, yeah. Also, if I remember right, Izzet was in Gatecrash, right?
Izzet was in Return to Ravnica.
Whatever.
Because I had Goblin Electromancer, and you could cast it with Phoenix of Revelation and Limited.
Anyways, so isn't the point, like, didn't the pre-release promos then weren't random either, were they?
No, every pre-release promo was the same. So is it got Hypersonic Dragon, Golgari got Corpsejack Menace, Rakdos got the Demon Horse Carnival Hellsteed, Celestia got the land that turns into a token.
Which was broken.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It actually ruined, like, that pre-release.
Archon of the Triumvirate was pretty brutal, too.
The issue isn't that the cards, the pre-release cards weren't equally powerful or whatever, because they kind of were. Like, they were all good, right? The problem is that when you're actually playing a game of Magic, there's a fundamental difference between your bomb being a land and your bomb being a card that takes up a slot in your deck. So, like, all the other guilds, you had 23 lands and 17 Magic cards, one of which was a bomb. In Celestia, you had 23 lands, 17 Magic cards, and one of your lands was a bomb.
You mean
the actual like threat density of your deck?
You mean
was
17
higher.
Lands were one of them? You mean vice versa?
Yeah. I do mean that vice versa. That's correct.
The other issue with Celestia and that pre-release was that you had a higher chance in your guild pack to get your guild leader at Mythic. So like Celestia had a higher chance to get Tristani, which had higher synergy with the land.
Why is that true?
Because what do you mean? Why is that true?
Like, they just put more Tristanis in there than...
I mean, well, you had a higher chance to get your guild leader. So, like, Tristani had a better, like, synergy with the...
Right. As opposed to, is it, like, getting whatever and just having Hypersonic Dragon anyways?
Correct. Like, Tristani was busted with terrible. The land because you just keep making 8-8s and gaining 8 life.
Well, not to mention the entire mechanic was populate. So, like, you just make the thing at the end of their turn. Yeah. I lost to, like, 2... Celestia decks solely because of that land, and just so stupid because they just got to have one more power. They got to have one more bomb in their deck than everyone else did, or one more card that did things. It was just dumb. Anyways, rant over. Return to Ravnica sucked. Gatecrash.
That was a great set, and it got people that had quit Magic for 5 years to come back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
what are you talking about? I was killing people with Lobber Crew. You know what a boner you get from murdering people with Lobber Crew? The biggest.
I
mulliganed down to 3 cards, and one of them was Rat Pack, and I won that game. That was an amazing time to play Magic. You're just salty. Stop being wrong.
I'm salty, but I'm not wrong. Also, I do think it was cool how they did 3 RTR packs to draft, then 3 Gatecrash, then one of each. That was a new thing at the time, because at the time they were still experimenting with ways to make draft interesting for full blocks. That was pretty cool. And I did like Gatecrash drafting black white don't do anything. You just had a bunch of walls and killed people with extort. You never had to attack. That was fun, but just overall that block was eh. And then they top it off with Dragon's Maze, so that was a thing.
That was the thing.
All right, so my second breaking bulk pick.
God. Oh, would you stop?
I'm not gonna make you guys guess this one because I understand that it might be
because we
difficult.
Can't because it's
unguessable.
Okay,
it's page 37 of the book arena from 1996 that you tore out and you could send it in for a free Sewers of Estark. That page, even though you can't redeem it anymore since 1997, is worth $1.55 on eBay. Would you guess that? I'm sorry for yelling. I raised my voice. Arena's a good book. It's got sex in it, so that was cool. For a 12-year-old, I'm like, I like Magic the Gathering. It's a wholesome game. And they're like, then they were banging. And I was like, oh, shoot. Thanks, Arena.
Wow.
It made me want to be a real wizard even more because I was like, even real wizards get tail? That's amazing.
Jason, I mean, DJ, go. What's your stupid card?
For Alias's token from both the Commander 2014 set and the Commander Anthology. For Alias makes 1/1 elf druids that tap for mana, so she essentially makes land of war elves without the name.
Elvish mystics.
Sure. But each of those tokens...
Findhorn elves.
Each of those tokens are worth about $1.
Boreal druids.
No, it's not a boreal druid. That's a snow thing.
This pick of the week is a boreal druid.
Each of those tokens is worth about $1 because anybody who buys like an $8 Freyalis online needs like 3 or 4 of the tokens.
You're
to
not
go
wrong.
Them.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, legit.
All right. I'm jumping in.
You guys. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I said I wasn't ready, but I was ready like right away because this is an easy segment.
I have a colorless card, artifact card from Iconic Masters. And I'm using Iconic Masters here because this is about the time when you can start finding Iconic Masters in bulk.
Mind crank.
The cards are. And that was actually a good guess, DJ, because there are a few options. It is Mindcrank. But we're on the
set. There aren't really
well, the other was like Mindstone, like, and I figured Mindstone had been picked recently enough that you weren't going to pick it, yeah. So I went Mindcrank.
Well, there's also Palladium Mirror in the set.
True.
So, and I had...
That's not colorless, though.
I did
Palladium Mirror is colorless.
Yes, it is. I said...
Oh,
I
was thinking of the... Whatever. I was thinking of the 3-1... thing that was a white Phyrexian. That's not
Porcelain Legionnaire.
Also, for what it's worth, there was Thran Dynamo and Mishra's Bauble.
Yeah, but I don't think we count
those. You're not going to get those in bulk. Hey, you know what's a good break in bulk pick when you got an $8 card in there?
They're only $4. But anyways, you know we get those in bulk. It does happen. But anyways, it is Mindcrank. It used to be a couple dollars, I think. For those who don't know Mindcrank, the 2-mana artifact, when an opponent loses life, they put that many cards from their library into their graveyard. Forms an infinite combo with a quested up Blood Chief Ascension. Because that is whenever a player...
Or Dustmantle Guildmage.
Or Dustmantle Guildmage. Yes, I believe that is true.
Yeah.
So that's a combo. It used to be worth a couple bucks, but now it was an uncommon in Iconic Masters, and there's a bunch of them, so it's 50 cents. But it's, you know, it's going to continue probably climbing over the next couple years, etc. It's still a pick. So there you go, Mindcrank. Jason, you ready?
I have an SOI pick.
Interesting.
Indulgent Aristocrat.
There's a black enchantment.
Yeah, there's actually a handful of... Is it called the Bloodline?
No. It's an uncommon black enchantment from Shadows.
Hmm. Is it the Skulk one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Behind the scenes.
Yep.
It's a your black
creatures
white
have
card,
Skulk,
right?
And then you... Yeah, yeah, and you can pump it.
Yeah.
So you're for 5 mana, your creatures get 1/1. It's real good in going wide. You know, your creatures have Skulk, and then you get them through unblocked.
Remind people
like,
what
hey,
Skulk is, because they don't know.
They can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. They have Kithkin Shroud, right?
What?
Wasn't that Kithkin
Shroud? I don't know if that's the thing. It was on Miss something Skulk.
It was on like Skulk. One Kithkin, and it was like, this creature can't
Amber
be blocked
Kithkin
by a power 3 or greater.
From Legends.
Yeah, no, it's been on several.
Yeah, dude, like
something
if you're going
Skulk
wide,
is what it's actually
yeah.
named off of in like Shadow.
You got like 1/1s coming in. They're like, I can't block your 1/1s. And then for a mere 15 mana, you can make those 4/4s and kill them.
This is actually on buy list for a good number?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, 15 cents.
No, that's actually really good because it's not that expensive. but that's
yeah,
good.
I've gotten dimes for those before. I've only started picking those recently in the past like 6 months, but I've gotten dimes for them. Sometimes they're not on BioList, but like it's just a card that you'll always find, right? Because like
yeah, I mean,
you'll go through SOI book and you'll have
nine,
like,
six.
Oh, Duskwatch Recruiter's not in here, or like Fiery Temper's not in here. But yeah, like behind the scenes and Indulgent Aristocrat are like
yeah,
the two big ones that get left in there.
I did not
but
know
I mean,
about.
Like, Doran, Alesha, Marchesa, Ikra Shiddiqui, Saskia.
This card has weird.
All those go wide decks, they want to run that.
This card has weird.
And some of the decks where you just like you just want an enchantment out that does something non-trivial, like Xur and Daxos, and even Edgar Markov. Like those are all pretty popular decks right now. So like a lot of decks want this, and I think that's, you know, pretty soon we're going to be seeing this for 25, 50 cents on a buy list when it's a few years out, just because everybody's got these now in their bulk and they're just like sending to the buy list. But all right, pretty
guys,
soon
quick.
You're not going to have all those copies to backfill the demand. And I think the demand's there.
Quick quiz. What is the most expensive common or uncommon in Shadows of Rinnishad? There's exactly one card in the set that is not a rare or a mythic that is more than a dollar. What do you think it is? You're not going to get it, but what do you think it is?
That is more than a dollar.
Literally, Duskwatch Recruiter is 90 cents. It's the second most expensive.
No, I know.
I don't know.
This shocked me. I looked this up because I just now, as you're talking about it, because I actually drafted Shadows of Rinnishad at the Pro Tour a couple months ago for the first time since it had been out. It was actually pretty fun. I really liked, I think it was actually a good set. I know people didn't think it lived up to original Innistrad or whatever, but I thought, like, it had some cool stuff. Investigate was really cool.
It's the token, right? Like the black
one? It is the human cleric
token. Yeah, it's the, I forget what card it makes it. It's like the cult leader. It's like the cult leader in Westville Abbey.
Flips. Yeah, no, it's the thing that flips. The
Westville Abbey.
No.
That token's worth more than Olivia?
It might be what's.
Well, they both, he said not rare or mythic.
Yeah,
but Olivia's like $1.40. You're telling me there's a token worth more than Olivia?
Market price on this token is $1.50.
Great.
Well, it's like Westville Abbey. It makes like black white tokens, doesn't it? And then there's like the.
I was thinking it was Handwear Militia Captain.
Yeah. There's like, I think they both make the same token.
I see.
Well, that explains it. No, wait, no, it doesn't.
It really doesn't.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that really is crazy, actually. I just looked it up because you had a pick from that, and I thought that set was just trash, but for the most part, it is.
Well, SOA is kind of trash, but if you're talking about a card that's like 25 cents retail that's buy listing for 15.
No, but that token's always been worth money. It was like less than $1 when SOI was in standard, but it's like...
Handwear Militia Captain.
You know what's crazy about tokens being worth money? That's the only card you're allowed to proxy.
So the market price on Handwear Militia Captain is $1.50, or I'm sorry, is 50 cents. Westville Abbey market price is $2.50, and the token is $1.50. That's insane.
You know what the best part about paying $1.50 for this token is? When you're playing on camera, SCG will take your $1.50 token away from you and give you an SCG token. That's the best part about paying money for tokens.
That's pretty funny, actually. Westville Abbey is a sweet
they're like,
card,
no.
By the way.
Oh, no. No, we got you.
Westville Abbey is a really cool card.
That doesn't mean that if you are playing an SCG open, you shouldn't try to use your Brainstorm Brewery tokens. You still should.
That's a good
For that minuscule amount of viewership experience, you should definitely try to use your BSB tokens on SCG coverage.
And your BSB playmat.
Agreed.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
And then be really mean to them when they try to not let you do it.
Yeah. Make a scene. Make like the other games that are doing coverage, like swivel.
Yeah,
camera.
Don't get angry behind the scenes, but get angry in front of the scenes.
Yeah. Too many people are angry behind the scenes. It's like, no, you need to cause a scene. You need to go viral.
You don't need to give yourself skulk. You just need to.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Don't give yourself skulk. Give yourself double strike. Punch two judges. All right.
We do not advocate punching of judges.
Unless it's Jeff Foster, hit him in the face. No, I'm kidding. He was just the first
Shout
judge
out to
I
Jeff.
Thought of.
I don't know.
Jeff Foster is my favorite judge because he's a meme. Because you remember when the dude like brainstormed
the
other guy's like Notion Thief, and then Jeff like threw his head back laughing, and that got memeified.
I did not know that.
That was the best.
Funny, yeah, Jeff.
We love Jeff Foster. He's the best.
Anyways,
got him. All right.
That was a good pick.
Punch him in the face is what I'm saying.
I wonder if Eldritch Moon has anything. Because Eldritch Moon was a cool set, too.
It's got Lone Rider's a pick. Campaign of Vengeance is like 5 cents if you want to go that deep.
Eldritch Moon is a weird... It sounds like a Sylvia Plath poem or like an Echo in the Bunnyman song.
Those are very obscure.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means.
Are they? You guys don't know Echo in the Bunnyman? Come on.
No.
They inspired Blessed Alliance with their song Seven Seas. So
Blessed Alliance I pick, Noose Constrictor I pick, Vampire Cut, like the 1/1 vampire with a Skulk and Lifelink, I pick that card.
Also, more stuff does have
also the wizard token from the wizard token from the like the final Delver or whatever.
Oh, the perfect whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. The Incendiary wizard token from that I mean, pick.
I guess Blessed Alliance is the big one from the set. That's the best card. There's not a lot here, though. Not a lot at all.
If you go to Dawn Glare and check out Shadows of Innistrad, then you...
Dawn Glare. You said it. I said it sounded Dawn like Glare. Dong Layer.
No, if you go to that site and you...
If you go to donglayer.com, you're going to... Welcome to the layer of dongs. I think I'm on the wrong site. No, you're on the right site. And then that's your life. No, but, so make sure... D-A-W-N-G-L-A-R-E.
Sort by TCG
Low. Don't go to Dong Layer.
Sort by TCG Low. It's a website that lets you aggregate the estimated value of a box when you open it. Sort by TCG Low, and then check out Shadows Over Innistrad. The site only uses $1 up rares to calculate expected value, so it doesn't factor in all the bulk rares or crap you get. Shadows Over Innistrad has a expected box value of $10 TCG Low.
I have one sitting behind me. Feels good, man.
Yep, you can open like Avacyn or Tireless Tracker or Thing in the Ice, and that is fucking it. Like
we should play a game. The three of us go away from our cameras real quick. We go grab the worst box we have and hold it up for the camera.
I sold my Dragon's Maze box.
I have Rivals Over Ixalan. I think that's my worst box I have behind
Rivals
me.
Rivals Over Ixalan. Impressive.
Rivals
stuff.
Over. Yeah, let me go look. I think I have a terrible box or two.
Remember when we were going to talk about Masters 25?
Oh yeah, check this out. Born of the Gods. Do I win?
I have Commander.
Well, apparently not, because I have Shadows of Innistrad.
Do my Commander 2017 decks win? Because those are like overprinted to hell.
Wait.
Does Born of the Gods win?
I think Shadows is worse than Born of the Gods. Born of the Gods has a lot of good commons and uncommons.
Yeah, you're going to accidentally crack like, oh, I got a foil Karanos. Damn, I guess I win this game. Yeah, because I'm smart enough not to buy Dragon's Maze, even if it's Japanese.
My Dragon's Maze box, I got $65 for.
That's really good.
I know. And then I drafted it, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it was great. All right. All right, we should probably move on. I think people might want to hear about Masters 25. What do you guys think?
They want to hear about Selesnya and Golgari guild tokens.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants to hear.
They
want to
hear you shut up. So this is this set's not fully spoiled. We didn't record this podcast early in the week. We waited till midweek, where a good deal of the set has been spoiled.
We wanted to wait until Tree of Redemption was officially spoiled so that we could give you the financial predictions of that card and Armageddon and Doomsday. And
okay, so if we say some shit and you guys are like, that shit sounds wrong, just know that we don't have the full spoiler, but we waited until the mostly spoiler was mostly spoiled. So we know a good deal of information. We know a lot of the mythics, enough to be disappointed.
I think we know all the mythics.
And do we know
I think we know them all. There might be one more, but...
Tree of Redemption was the last mythic, I think. It's 9...
Well, in that case, I don't want to buy any boxes.
The 12, 13...
You know...
That's all the mythics.
It's a fine set. It's just a loot box, that's all.
Yeah, well, it's a little, but at the same time, you got all these, like, rares just being crushed for, like, $3, but they will recover. So I think there's more financial opportunity in a year for this set than any other Masters set. But it's going to look really shitty in the short term. It's going to be a Jace the Mind Sculptor lottery for a while. So, how did you guys want to tackle this? Because we know almost every card, but there's still a few surprises. And there have been some surprises, like when they said, hey, Balduvian Horde, that's common. And I went, fuck you, I paid $20 for one of these. 1997.
I think a good way to introduce our Masters 25 review is to read an email from our $40 patron.
All right, let's hear it.
This is...
Why doesn't he just come on the cast and ask us?
This is probably a time-related, time-sensitive.
All right, let's do it.
85 watermarks from Steven Kessner. Evening, gentlemen and DJ, since you'll be taking $40 from me in a few hours, I figured I ought to submit my question. While looking at previews, I couldn't help but notice that for some cards, the watermark stood out beautifully. What are your opinions about how this might drive foil prices for cards such as Blood Moon, Magus of the Wheel, Counterspell, etc.? Steven Kessner. DJ, please pass my address to Jason so that he can send me a couple drinking glasses so I can stop drinking beer out of a bottle like a poor.
Oh, this guy drinks beer out of the bottle?
I guess.
Gross. And he's a school teacher. He should be drinking it out of a thermos. You shouldn't drink beer out of the bottle in class, man. I don't care how much your kids yell. Yeah, I think it's going to be the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, right? Like, everyone's going to be like, ooh, the moon on Blood Moon's cool, but no one's going to be like, oh, the stupid spider thing on Living Wish looks cool. So I think it's only going to, like, matter on good cards. So, like, will you be able to tell how much the price of foil Blood Moon's going up based on the watermark and how much is just being foil Blood Moon?
Well, I think
versus, like,
I don't think you're going to compare
about
the
book on Doomsday.
I don't think you're going to compare the foil Blood Moon watermark to, like, the foil Living Wish watermark. I think you compare the foil Blood Moon watermark to, like, the M7 Modern Masters 2017 Blood Moon, because that one's really cheap. And the original Modern Masters Blood Moon is like $60 or $50, something like that, and it has a higher multiplier. And then there's obviously like 8th edition.
Oh, so you're saying if someone's looking at a big pile of foil Blood Moons, and they're all roughly the same, is the one with the sexy watermark going to sell off fast?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Well, they all got like the same art since like 9th edition, right?
But that's what I'm saying. I think that this Blood Moon sells better than the Masters 2017 one, but I don't think it sells as good. I don't think it obviously beats like the Amonkhet one or the 8th edition one. Like, there are certain prestiges to these Blood Moons, and I think this one has a little bit of a higher cap than the 17 one, but I don't think that this applies to very many cards in the set, like, because Blood Moon has so many printings, right? So, like, a lot of these cards...
Yeah, so I think it's going to be personal preference, and if you have choices, it could end up being a wash. Like, oh, I prefer the Invocation, I prefer this.
Well, I mean, like, I think there's very specific cards in this set this applies to. Like, Lightning Bolts, I think, is a good example, because the M10 version is, like, the M10 foil version is, like, $3 or $4 higher than the M11 version because it has flavor text. And normally flavor text is, like, kind of a detractor for a card. Like, with Time Stop, the 10th edition foil Time Stop is way more expensive than the Champion's foil. But Lightning Bolt, the flavor text is just so iconic, or reminder text for Time Stop, sorry. But Lightning Bolt's flavor text is very iconic. It's very nostalgic. It like brings back a lot of memories for players just because the flavor text is reminiscent of the first time the card got reprinted.
But it reminds me of 2010.
Well, like the flavor text on Lightning Bolt from the M10 version reminds people of when the card was last printed before M10.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, outside of really, really bad printings of cards for competitive cards like Blood Moon, we usually see the prices converge. I mean, there's just not that huge of a difference between the different versions of Blood Moon. So while I agree that the watermark is really cool and you might see it matter for the foils or something, you know, a Blood Moon is just not that big of a price difference. Even the Chronicles one is almost the same price as the Modern Masters one.
Right. For non-foils, I completely agree. For non-foils, I do think the price, the watermark makes the price irrelevant. But specifically, the email was specifically regarding foils.
Right,
so I think,
right. Yeah, this is something I wanted to touch on anyways about this set. So this was a good time to tackle it. But I agree. On the foils, it's definitely going to be more... It's definitely going to be better than the Modern Masters ones.
Yeah, I think you have to compare the watermark to other cards with the same art and border without the watermark. So, like, you're going to see an interesting... you might see an interesting difference between, like, Eternal Masters Counterspell and this Counterspell foil. Eternal Masters Counterspell is only, like, $4 or $5. Maybe this one gets a couple more dollars because people like the M on it. Because
well, especially for cube cards.
Right, exactly. Like, Brainstorm is, I think, a card that could have an interesting foil multiplier, but again, that has new art, so you can't really determine whether the price difference is because of the art or the border or the watermark, or, like, it's just harder. So I think the only cards you can really compare it with are the foils that have a identical art, identical border, and then just, like, yes or no watermark.
Right. Yeah.
I think the art matters a lot, too.
No, the art matters. Like, I'm just saying I don't think you can...
You got the Red Elemental Blast with a dude throwing up the shocker, and I think that is going to be a thing that people like. You know, same reason people bought French Delay. I think they're gonna be like, dude, that dude's, he's not only blown up a blue permanent, he's thrown up the shocker. That's tight.
So, yep, that think, might be a thing.
I think
that
it definitely
do.
That's going to be the art to get on Red Elemental Blast, right?
Personal preference, I guess.
I think everyone's going to prefer that. It wouldn't.
All right, so let's talk about. There's one thing about the set that stood out to me, and we really saw this.
Reef Worm. You thought Reef Worm should have been mythic.
Yeah,
I get
that's
it.
Right.
I understand.
Good point. Good point. With Iconic Masters, we saw a bunch of cards that were expensive when the set came out, but died. To a large extent, you know, Grove, Horizon Canopy, and there was a lot of that set out there. But we talked a lot about the cards that were just expensive due to their scarcity, as opposed to cards that were good because they were played. And it seemed like the big ones, the big chase ones for Iconic Masters, or yeah, I believe that was the set. There's too many Super Master sets now, but it was just, they were largely scarcity based prices. This set is a complete mix. And so I think we're going to see wildly different action, like behavior between something like Imperial Recruiter or
like Bridge or Chalice.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. Well, an Imperial Recruiter might fall into those that category. I mean, something like Jace and Port and some of the Vendilion Click, Blood Moon, those type of things. I mean, those are unlikely to drop as much as something like the cards were just expensive because they didn't really exist. And in some ways, you know, the filter lands sort of fall into that. You know, they're not actually played in Modern for the most part. They're great in Commander, but that's it. It's just a cycle of rare lands. And if it wasn't for the fact they were from Shadowmoor Eventide, they just wouldn't be worth anything.
Well, I mean, Port's
but
already,
I think there is a corollary to that, right? And I think there is discovered demand where some cards were just out of people's price range. Like, people would have played with Imperial Recruiter if it weren't a $200 card. But it's like, why would you even think about what Imperial Recruiter is going to do in your deck? You know, I was thinking, like, man, Imperial Recruiter makes Alesha and Animar decks better. But I guess the real stop, like, bottleneck there is the price of Animar. And then, whoops, Animar got spoiled that the day after I wrote that article. So I kind of think there's a potential for, like, people that just sort of like, well, I'll never be able to afford Azusa, so I'm not going to worry about it. And all of a sudden, no, you can afford the shit out of Azusa.
Well, that,
now.
That will create an interesting price floor for some of these cards. But yeah, I mean, Recruiter is, I think, an example of a card that's just going to get crushed.
Well, I mean, it already has.
It could rebound. Right. Well, it's not going to rebound completely.
But I don't even think
some of these cards,
close,
I'm not a buyer at their floor. When Master of the Wild Hunt hits the floor, I'm not a buyer. But when Imperial Recruiter bottoms out, yeah, give me.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But, you know, something like Blood Moon, and we already see it, like, you know, Blood Moon was like $25 to $27 before. The new one's coming out at $18. Imperial Recruiter was $200 or whatever, and it's coming out at a third of that.
The Judge was like $160 at the low before reprint.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's coming out well under half of it, and that's the difference. And, you know, the filter lanes, I think, are really in Bridge as well. You're going to see a lot of these things go way down, and more of the value, in my opinion, is going to end up getting eaten up by stuff like Port and Jace and Vendilion Click and Blood Moon and stuff like that. Now, the wild card here is that we don't know what the print run for the set's going to be like, so that's a thing. But it's just interesting because, you know, coming out of the gate, we have some really expensive cards that are expensive due to scarcity. But this set is not just headlined by them. It also has cards with playability. You're going to see a lot of shifting in the EV here. So, I don't know.
It's kind of weird to see what recovers and what doesn't. Because there's cards that are going to get crushed and there's cards at the same rarity that are going to rebound nicely. So, it pays to know going in what your projected 6-month and 12-month, you know, view on some of this stuff is, because, like,
right
at peak supply you're gonna have buy opportunities, but which cards do you pick? That'll be something that we'll talk about on this podcast, because we talked
a couple weeks ago about
everything in Iconic Masters is basically
Coalition Relic with gorgeous new art.
Oh wow,
I'm gonna link this to you guys in the Skype chat.
That's kind of cool.
So it's Wednesday night and they're still updating. That's cool. Coalition Relic was a card that really needed it.
That art is beautiful.
Oh, I love that art. Oh my god, that Coalition Relic looks hot. So yeah, as of Wednesday, they haven't printed Phyrexian Altar, a card I've been saying, hey, this really needs to get printed. And they haven't printed Crucible of Worlds, a card that I've been saying, hey, this really needs to get reprinted. But
ooh, a Coalition Relic is cool.
Yeah, that looks really good.
That'll be nice in foil.
Who did that?
Jason Felix.
Well, he's got a cool name. Felix.
Yep. Nice. Okay. Well, that's pretty nice.
Oh, apparently Corsair crew picks too.
Yeah.
Well, say, hey, you know what? We waited till Wednesday, but stuff's still coming in. So good for other time zones, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That Corsair, that's not good. That makes me sad.
Meh. It's fine. It's Corsair crew picks. Whatever, right? Okay, yeah. So what else, you know, we've kind of hit on some of it here. What else stands out to you guys from the set? You know, I think we sort of agree that the cards that take up a lot of the EV now aren't necessarily the cards that take up the EV 3 months from now or a year from now,
well,
or 5 years
from now.
They
got a lot of bad mythics. They got a lot of $4
cards
that were $4 before they were
or
printed.
Or weren't even $4.
Armageddon, Doomsday, yeah. Master of the Wild Hunt, a Chroma Angel, a Fury, a Chroma... No, that's not mythic. Tree of Redemption.
Yeah, it is. A Chroma.
They got a lot of weird mythics.
I think the single card that I'm most excited about in this set as a store owner is Relentless Rats. That is a card that I get asked about constantly if I have 35 or 40 in stock, and every now and again I'll do, and then I don't have any Relentless Rats for the next, 6 months.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think Relentless Rats...
And this was uncommon forever.
Yeah, it was uncommon in 5th Dawn and M10, and they were just... And M11, I think, too, actually, but they were just impossible to find, and now I will be way, way happier to just buy these at, 10 cents or quarters and sell them at 50 cents all day, every day.
I do kind of wish it was still
at uncommon. And you sell them 10, 20, 30 at a time, too. That's,
yeah, and the other cool thing about this card is now that it has new art, most people who are buying 10, 20, 30 at a time will want all of their copies to match.
Will want the same art.
So, this version will be able to retain a specific value. It's not going to, completely plummet the card. It's never going to be a true bulk card because all of that demand is wrapped up in just, super playsets or whatever you want to call them, just because somebody wants 35 Relentless Rats, they're not gonna go on and say I guess I can get 10 of the heavily played Fifth Dawn ones for $1 or so and then some of these ones for 90 cents. No, they're gonna want all of them of the same art, and this card at common is huge. I love it.
Yeah,
and I bet it's got a even at common it's got a built-in huge foil multiplier,
and the art is actually kind of cool for what it's worth.
That rat looks like he's not relenting at all. He's like, I'm not going to... You think I'm going to relent
think my favorite
just because I'm getting to the edge of the art border?
My favorite little trivia
Forget
about
it.
Relentless Rats so far is... Pauper Commander lets you use any uncommon creature. It doesn't have to be legendary, but the rest of your deck has to be commons. So you can technically use Relentless Rats as your commander and then use 40 copies for your actual deck.
Sure.
I don't think that's correct.
Yep. It is.
I mean, he said Pauper Commander,
your commander can be something that was ever uncommon, ever.
Yes.
And your stuff has to be something that was ever common, ever.
Correct.
Wow, that'll be good for all the fucking Pauper Commander I play. Good.
Terrible...
That's a big part of my life.
I mean, it's funny.
It is kind of funny, I guess.
Did you know in reverse double Canadian Highlander, this could be...
I never said
Pauper
Commander was a real format. I just think it's a... funny little idea.
Fun facts
on the
from
level
DJ.
Of tiny leaders.
Keep your funny little ideas. Keep
slash,
them inside.
Slash unsubscribe.
Roll it into a tube.
I would like to unsubscribe from your newsletter. These facts.
I'll let you guys know when Pauper Commander becomes a real
make
thing.
A brain bites out of it, and I won't open it.
I am also very excited about Relentless Rats. So DJ, that's a great point. I'd kind of forgotten about that card. I kind of wish it was uncommon though, just simply for the fact that in this day and age of infinite reprints, going through bulk is not as exciting as it used to be, right? It's still fine, and you still enjoy it, and you still make money, but you don't get as many this is a $3 card or $4 card, uncommon. This is actually $2 that I just pulled out. Oh, there's a playset. That's $8. That's lunch or whatever, right? And it's a really cool thing. Now, when there's just so many reprints, it's
Corbin knows exactly how much lunch costs because he goes to Chipotle.
Correct. $8.64. Had it about 3 hours ago.
That's, oh,
But anyway,
it made
so
me sad. I was like, ah, ha, ha, and he's like, I know exactly how much it
yeah.
is.
But I mean, there's just less and less of that these days, and it feels more like a grind than ever to make money off bulk, because you're just like, oh, 50 cents. I got 20 cents out of this card if it's on the buy list this week or whatever. And you know, Relentless Rats at uncommon is one of those that just always stayed at feel good, and now at common it has the potential to not be as good. I mean, it's obviously still going to be a pick, and I agree they're going to be worth money. I bet they're probably going to be like a dollar or whatever, and it'll be great. But imagine if it were at uncommon, you know, it would still feel great.
But you'd find less of them and then sell less of them.
I know, but like I said, I'm talking about
new art on Chalice of the Void,
right? Like, it's you. There's a bunch of cards we can find and grind to make money off of them, and that's fine. But you just, there's less moments, and maybe I'm just old and jaded. There's fewer moments.
You are definitely just old and jaded, because I still get excited about picking like Sedge Scorpions and like Furikas.
Yeah, but you get excited about
Return to Ravnica, like dividers. Yeah.
Oh, here's a guy that filled in Delver of Secrets on the thing. That's worth 28 cents.
Well, for me, picking bulk and going through, like anyone going through any collection, it's the discovery of it, right? You never know what you're going to find. It's the whole...
It's treasure
hunting. The entire conceit of like Pawn Stars or whatever. You don't know what you're getting when you open it up, and that's what makes it fun. And it's just a lot more fun to open a $4 card, even if there's fewer of them, than it is to open, you know, four $1 cards. Because
I don't know if that's true.
It is, because the work just compounds, right? You can be $100 either way, but if it's four times as much work to get there... then that's just less fun. So, I don't know.
That's accurate. Yeah. Well, so do you guys want to talk about the stuff that you think is going to get less smashed?
Yeah,
do you
want to yeah,
talk
absolutely.
About stuff that you pick? Like,
what do you guys think is going to hold up well?
I mean, Chalice Bridge, definitely. Ash Barons, I think, holds like $2 or $3. It's not going to be $5 anymore, but I think it stays like $2 or $3.
What do you think about Port? Let's talk about that one. It's a big one.
Well, Port was... It's a 4-of in the decks that play it, but I think that was more of a scarcity thing.
It was certainly a scarcity thing before. The Judge promo was 150. The original was like 90.
But here's the deal. If he's like, oh, I was priced out of Port. I couldn't afford any ports. Now I can afford Port, but you need 4-of them if you're playing... any deck that runs Port.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, this is like,
and it's
yeah,
mostly
exactly.
It's what, Death and Taxes and like what, a few other.
Well, it's like Death and Taxes and Goblins and maybe a couple
and
other
Goblins.
Things.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like if we use Wasteland
Death
as,
and Taxes
as like
isn't
a
good right now, so
benchmark,
thing, but...
like Wasteland went from like 70 to like 30 over the course of like 6 months of opening the set.
So you
and what's it at now?
Like 22 or 25.
Yeah, well,
but that's also like Eternal Masters, like massive print run. So like, we don't know how this compares to Eternal Masters, and Wasteland is obviously a more ubiquitous card in Legacy.
I imagine this will be big, right? Like this is a celebration set. I kind of think this will be a big print.
I think I imagine it's going to be all.
We're just guessing, right?
I don't know my allocation at the store. I do think that this is just going to be all over the place.
I know my allocation at the store, and it is similar to the Iconic Masters print run for LGSs, but I don't know what the print run looks like for big box stores or
places. I have
places
to imagine it's the same, man. Like,
yeah,
they're going to blow it out everywhere. It's celebrations. Oh, maybe. I say that. You know, there's the interesting thing where you, on the one hand, want to celebrate 25 years, but on the other hand, you don't want to remind people that your game is 25 years old because it makes it very imposing for new people to get in. When they're 25 years behind.
And you don't want to completely smash Vendilion Click into powder.
Yeah, I mean,
you kind of want some of these cards to be... If you're trying to charge $10 for a booster pack, you don't want like the EV of the set to be $1.25 a pack.
Well, that's where the scarcity issue comes in, because, you know, they printed an infinite amount of Modern Masters 2017, but it worked because they were fetch lands and people were just going to buy it no matter what. And they're going to retain value no matter what, but
are people like, oh, I hope I get Animar, Soul of Elements? I don't know, man. I think there are a lot of mythics that people are going to be like, fucking Prosh, for real?
Yeah, this is, this set, somebody's going to open the, like, double Prosh Tree of Redemption mythic box and quit Magic on the spot.
I don't know if they'll quit Magic. They may quit buying boxes.
I,
like an idiot
I think
who
it's
buys
kind
boxes.
Of, I think it's a little ridiculous, the spread on the mythics.
Yeah, I'm normally a pretty big fan of, like, Wizards knows exactly what they're doing when it comes to Mythic and Rare distribution, but, like, Prosh and Tree of Redemption are, like even a Chroma and, like, Doomsday I can
Armageddon?
Get. A Chroma and Doomsday I can get because they're, like, iconic to such a degree, but, like, Prosh and Tree of Redemption, really?
I think Armageddon was defensible.
I don't know. Is Tree of Redemption really worse than Lord of the Pit?
I mean, yeah.
Lord of the Pit wasn't Mythic, though, was it?
Yeah, it was.
I
swear to God, Lord of the Pit was...
No, that's a rare.
Well, if only we had access to the internet.
Lord of the Pit was a rare. I opened a lot of iconic masters.
Are you sure? Then what? There was something that was goofy in a... Oh, shit, it was rare. What was I thinking then? I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely bad mythics in every set, but putting... Armageddon, I
get... There are a lot of Comet Storms. There's usually one Comet Storm. This is a set of Comet Storms.
Right. Like, the Comet Storm was fine, like, because...
Jason, you might be thinking of Channel or Obnixilis. Because Obnixilis, the Fallen, was Mythic.
I thought that Armageddon at Mythic is fine because it's Armageddon and it's...
Yeah, no, I agree. That card's playing Magic.
You don't want it ruining every game.
Right, you're actually still playing Magic, so it does matter what it does in the game. But... The Tree of Redemption is just such a... It's just so unnecessary.
Yeah, that seems like a card that could just be easily be rare. There's no reason for that to...
Well, right.
It wasn't in the set at all. Who
exactly.
Shits about
exactly.
Green.
No,
I completely agree.
You couldn't find a green mythic?
Why couldn't that
that's on
been...
par with Master of the Wild Hunt and Power
Even
level?
If you're not going to do doubling season, that could have been like on Genesis Wave or something, right?
No,
like...
Genesis Wave can't be mythic.
Yeah, you're right. But
it was literally just an iconic Masters.
Yeah, you're right. But like something on that level... Right? Why wasn't it Parallel Lives, for, you know, Christ's sake? Like,
Craterhoof Behemoth.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, even if they're aiming for a specific price...
Seedborn
like,
views.
Azusa could have been Mythic, and I think everybody would have been okay
with
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sure exactly could. Right.
Vigor, Seedborn.
But you're right, no, you're right. You don't even need to do a different card. You just make
like
a...
Like, Sylvan Library, or like Oracle of Moldiah, like anything.
Oh, shit,
Worldly Tutor.
Oracle of Moldiah is a card that needed or got...
Well, the thing is, they can only put so much money... The idea is that they can only put so much money into it, because they do consider these things, right? They want them to be able to get to people. They don't want the boxes to be worth $400, and then everyone's selling them at more than MSRP, and no one can get them, etc. So I get why there do have to, you know, there have to be expensive chase cards and cards that aren't as expensive, but there is such a better degree of that than Tree of freaking Redemption. Any of these cards we've named, it doesn't need to be...
Is that really the one?
It doesn't need to be a $20 or $30 card. It could have been a $10 card, right? It's just almost insulting.
Prosh was like a $3 card.
Yeah, it just creates so many...
Gisela had been printed a bunch of...
Gisela was $8.
Like,
she was getting up there.
She was reclining. I actually went pretty deep on Gisela's after the last reprint.
Wouldn't you?
Did you get out?
But it's just, I don't know. It just creates the loot box feel to the set. And I don't, like, I know that there's going to be some $100 mythics.
You
there's
get
gonna
a
be
Jace
some,
or a Bridge or a Blood Moon or
there's
going to
be some
$10
mythics. But, you know, the dollar mythics is just insulting. Anyways, all right. What else about the set do we
want
to talk about?
Well, a dollar mythic feels really bad in a set with $7 rares also.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
But hey,
the set,
who's buying packs of this? I think this set mostly gets drafted, right? And then gets forgotten.
I will say I'm not disappointed with the set overall. I'm disappointed by... I'm nitpicking here because it creates a really big feel bad for people. I'm pretty happy with the set as a whole with what we've seen, and I doubt we get...
This actually
more,
looks but... like it'll be fun to draft, and I think they left in some really dumb stuff. Like, you can get Flash Hulk.
But what
in
do
this?
You get? With
That's iconic. That one. That I believe it won a Pro Tour. It at least dominated a weekend and then got banned.
You can Flash Hulk into
your Tree of Redemption,
and then you got him.
That's actually probably pretty
good. You can end
good.
Up with Four Savannah Lions or something stupid like that. Yeah. Like, this is...
No, it's a...
You can end up with Balduvian Horde, multiple Balduvian... You know what you had to do in my day to get a Balduvian Horde? You had to get
walk
a $20 gift
both
card
ways.
From your dad, and you had to buy a Balduvian Horde. And then your brother's like, I'm not buying one card for $20. And he bought a bunch of Tempest decks. And you're like, psh, good luck with Alluren. Like, that'll ever be worth money. And then you look real dumb 20 years later.
Yeah, right.
Is that what you do?
So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. They do
just me.
They
just me.
They make these things more ready to draft. It is definitely just you. But yeah, they do keep draft in mind. So I think it'll probably be pretty fun to play.
They balance these sets pretty well.
All right. Anything else you guys want to touch on with the set?
Nope.
All right. All right, let's do pick of the week then.
Pick of the
week.
That's
what we did. We waited. We waited two extra days, and all we talked about was like how much we hate the mythics.
No. We talked a lot about it.
Didn't know that we had tree redemption yet.
Yeah. This is the most important development possible.
Hey, there's some stuff that we're gonna have in foil for the first time ever, right?
Yes, and that's the thing with Prosh, I believe, right?
And Animar.
That's why those are mythic. I mean,
Prosh could have been rare.
Prosh could have been rare, but yeah, the reason it was mythic is because it's a first time foil.
That I don't like.
It's so clunky and limited. It's like, how much did I pay for it? Oh, right, the only amount of mana I'm ever allowed.
I mean,
to
yeah,
pay.
It's weird, but I'm pretty sure the first time mythic thing or the first time foil thing is the reason why it's mythic. Like, they're just trying to create another chase card, right? And that will be a foil Prosh, because that will be expensive.
I mean, it's Wednesday. There is a possibility that food chain's in the set. It's getting lower.
And it would be in a lower rare than
Tree of Redemption.
There's
so many cards that needed printed in this set, and the fact that they're printing stuff that they've printed a lot, like they've printed Decree of Justice a lot, right?
Yeah, this is like Niv-Mizzet the Fire Mine's 18th printing.
Yeah, do you really need to? You need another Jalera? You need to reprint Conflux just after it was in a a set?
Good old Vindicate, right around the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, good, yeah. That'll bring Vindicate from $6 to $2. Who gives a shit? Like, there are so many cards that need reprinting so bad that I thought would be in this set. I was like, Crucible of Worlds 100% is in Iconic Masters 25. So now it's sort of like, oh, shit.
I mean, it'll be somewhere. I mean, that's the thing, though. We can always say that about everything, like, you know, there's always going to be something that, when that's why Magic works, is because there's always something to look forward to in the next set. All right, there's always.
I mean,
next year.
In the case of shit like Phyrexian Altar, it's like, yeah, look forward to a $75 card that's not even on the reserve list. So neat.
Yeah. All right. Let's knock out pick of the week real quick.
Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
I'll go. I've got one. I'm going to go recent here. Standard pick. I'm going to go with Glacial Fortress. I know we've got a lot of printings of these. It is the, I believe, the cheapest of the lands thus far.
I think red-green is.
Is Rootbound Crag?
I think Rootbound Crag is like consistently 2, and Glacial Fortress is like 3.
Crag is 350. Glacial Fortress
why
is 332.
Why would Sun Petal Grove be more than...
Yeah, I always thought green, white, and red, green were the cheapest. Or at least they have been for the past, like...
Correct, but forever. Currently, Rootbound Crag is worth... The price of these in the short term is going to be dictated by Standard. Yeah. Rootbound Crag is worth more than Glacial Fortress.
Okay.
Because of dinosaurs?
No, because of the teamer decks. Like
it's because of dinosaurs.
Red, green monsters. There is no dinosaur deck. There's a red-green monster deck that is just like a deck of stuff. Sunbetal Grove is
you open your door and you find a dinosaur when you're living in the Land of the Lost. So just think about that.
All right, Corbin's pick of the week is Rootbound Crag. What's Jason's pick of the
it's
week?
It's not.
You're
it
yada,
is
yada,
Glacial
yada,
Fortress.
Yada the shit out of this.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. What's Jason's pick of the week?
DJ's so
tired.
Why are you
doing
this? It's so past his bedtime. It's so far past his bedtime.
Why don't you go off camera and come back in your feety pajamas with your little hat that flips
hey,
over
don't the talk,
side.
Man. I actually am podcasting in my pajamas.
I'm not wearing pants. You can't see
not.
That.
Go ahead. Not. Pick of the week.
Okay, here's a card that just a few weeks ago got to that arbitrage point. You know that point I'm talking about where the highest buy list and the lowest retail converge on the graph? And you're like, ooh, that's
I've heard of such a thing.
Well, it happened on this card. And I think what the buy price went right back down. So that was a dealer that ran out, and they're like, screw it, I'll pay retail. And they got all the copies they needed. They're like, well, I got to drop my buy price back down. But this is a card that was in the very first Modern Masters. Got that reprint, but I kind of think with Azusa, you know, I think there are a few cards that people were priced out of and now they can afford. I think people couldn't afford Azusa. They can now. And I think people are going to be getting back in that big green shit. I think it's the time to buy Woodfall Primus for $10. What did you think I was going to say?
I guessed Loam. Life of Loam.
Loam's not bad, actually. Malum is a card I really like, but it was in that Is It versus Golgari deck, and you can still find those for like $20. Woodfall Primus, $10. That's got to be the floor on that. I mean, it got a Modern Masters reprinting, but that was what, 5 years ago? Like, I think Woodfall Primus will never get cheaper than it is right now. So there's only two printings.
Is there room in this set for Woodfall Primus?
I mean, yeah, why don't you wait until Masters 25 is fully spoiled like it is when you're listening to this. But if Woodfall Primus is not in Masters 25, yeah, and you're not laughing at me right now, I think that's a card.
I like it.
Woodfall Promise is probably in Masters 25 and Uncommon. I just look like a douche. If it's not, Woodfall Promise is real good, man. It does a lot of work. Got three green pips for that Nykthos. So, hey, that's my pick. Right. It's a good pick. I like it. And I don't hate the foil either from Modern Masters.
All right, DJ, what do you got?
So I talked recently on this podcast about my little adventure buying Commander 2015 decks. I bought a bunch of Wade into Battles because the value of all the cards inside was way higher than the value of the actual product itself or how much it cost on Amazon.
Hey, DJ, was that before Magus of the Wheel was in Masters 25?
Yeah, so this morning, actually, I woke up, checked my phone, saw Magus of the Wheel was in the set, immediately ran upstairs, turned my computer on, buy-listed 37 copies to Card Kingdom for around $6.70, and then I buy-listed the remaining copies elsewhere for around the same numbers. So I got out just in time, actually. I did the same with Gisela on Friday. But one of the other cards that is in that deck that I think is going to continue to go up instead of going down by a reprint is Blade of Selves. So,
oh, God, that card's so good.
Yeah, Blade of Selves is currently $11. It started out like $20 or whatever, and then like it dropped. It
started out at a dollar.
Yeah, it's price been on a roller that was coaster, a dollar. But, like, I was like, that's in recent wrong. Memory, yeah, it has been like $4 or $5, like 6-7 months ago, and it has just steadily climbed over the course of that time period. And Myriad is a really hard keyword to reprint unless you're getting like into Judge foils or like some. Maybe like another commander deck. I don't think it's going to be.
It's basically a commander deck, right? You're not going to print Myriad in a 1v1.
Yeah, exactly.
Set.
And
dude, imagine putting Blade of Selves on a Woodfall Primus.
Well, like one of the main avenues that they've been using for these reprints for commander products is the Commander Anthology. And I don't think that the Gisela deck gets reprinted this time. They did Marin from C15 last Commander Anthology. But the Wade into Battle deck is just the worst one out of the box. It's not a good pre-con to play with out of the box because it's. The synergy of its parts is just really bad and clunky, even though the deck has really good cards in it, like Blade of Selves, Fiery Confluence, Ursus Incubator, just all these insane cards.
And Incubator is just a card that, like, at the time, is just like, well, this reprint's going to pull its pants down. They went, just kidding, we are balls deep on Tribal a year later, but nobody knew that.
And, like, I've listed a lot of my Blade of Selves and Fiery Confluence and all these other cards, like Lightning Greaves, Command Tower. I listed all these on my store online, and Blade of Selves is just consistently the one that's selling out the most all the time. I just sell these one at a time. Person buys one copy, some Command Towers, a Lightning Greaves here and there. But, like, I just keep selling out a Blade of Selves, and that card, I think, is going to hit 15 before it hits
anything. Is Thought Vessel in that deck?
Thought Vessel is in every C15 deck.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. There you go.
I bought a bunch of Wade into Battles, but I haven't even cracked them yet, so I eat dicks.
Yeah, it's a good pick. It's a good commander mechanic. I'm also tired, everyone. Let's get out of here. Anything else you guys want to say before we go?
Brainstorm Brewery. Patreon.com/BrainstormBrewery, YouTube.com.
$1,500 gets everyone to eat a chip. That is very spicy, I hear.
Please don't.
Yeah, when we get to $1,500 on the Patreon.
Please no.
We are doing the... What? Please. Yeah, the one chip challenge. If you guys
don't
heard
give
of
money
a,
to us.
More importantly...
It's a chip made with like a super hot pepper. Yeah,
more importantly...
It's not the Scoville rating on the chip isn't as high as the Scoville rating on the pepper. So, like, how could it be? So, it's, like, it's pretty reasonable. It's like eating a Scotch bonnet pepper, but, like, these guys are just like, no!
The important thing is that you can destroy DJ and make him do something he does not want to do. And
I am the guy that walks into the Mexican restaurant and is like, hey, can I get the mildest sauce possible? Like, I am not about spicy.
They give him ketchup with onions.
Basically, yeah.
I can't wait. I hope we make it. Anyways, everyone, This is Brainstorm Brewery. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your master's product. I guess it probably won't come out for another week or so anyways, but hope you learned a little bit about the set tonight. God, I can't talk. It's too late, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
We did what we were supposed to do. We did a whole episode, so what do you want from us?